time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
We are going to plunge into a very sensitive issue today, but a very important issue, and in many ways an issue of life and death. We're going to talk about sickness and healing. Has God promised healing to us in the New Testament? Did Jesus purchase our physical healing along with our spiritual redemption? If so, why are so many godly people seriously ill? Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, or email me directly at Dr. Brown, that's drbrown, at askdrbrown.org. Let me throw out a few questions for you, and then I want to read an email that I received from England that prompted me to get onto the subject, which is always a subject of interest and concern. Do you believe that healing is for today? Do you believe that in the same way Jesus healed the sick in the New Testament and there were miracles in the book of Acts, maybe not the same level all the time, but that divine healing is for today? James 5, are there any sick among you? Go to the elders for prayer. The elders come to you. You're obviously too sick to go to them. The prayer offered in faith makes the sick person well. Is that still for today? Are the gifts of healing still for today? That's the first question. When Jesus died for our sins, was physical healing included in that? By his stripes we are healed. Does that include physical healing? Does it focus on physical healing? And if healing is in the atonement, if healing is still for today, why are so many of God's people, even godly people, people of faith, sick? And if you have gone through a situation that you feel taught you something, maybe you went through sickness, maybe you concluded this was from the devil attacking you, maybe your view was this is the hand of God disciplining you, maybe your view was this was a mystery, but you're going to trust what the word said nonetheless. If you've got a story that where you learned something, maybe we'll hear from a few of you on that line as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Healing for today, yes or no? Healing in the atonement, yes or no? You don't have to answer all these, okay? You can weigh in on any one. And if healing is for today, why are there godly people who love the Lord, who believe in healing, who are sick? Now, my own interest in this goes back to when I got saved in 1971, so I'll share some of that with you in a moment. But got an email from Mike in the UK. He'd written previously, and I just felt this would be a good time to address things. Remember last week, I was in Dallas, Texas on Friday night for a special meeting for dear friend and co-worker Steve Hill. Steve was the evangelist used in the Brownsville Revival, has led to the Lord probably hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, led them in repentance and faith to follow Jesus, and they're walking with the Lord today. Steve is very committed to the Lord, a very serious believer, and he's in a life and death battle with melanoma. In fact, barring miraculous intervention or some unusual breakthrough in treatment, there's no hope for him physically. We were there to stand with him and to help raise funds to cover some of the many expenses that have arisen as he's been in this battle. Why is someone like that sick? A soul winner? We need evangelists. We need them on the front lines. Well, he's maybe a couple years older than me, so maybe around 57 or something like that. He's a young man. He's in a battle for his life. So Mike writes, if Scripture really teaches that Jesus died to redeem us from sickness as well as sin, and healing is a new covenant blessing now available to all God's believing people, why are so many saints not receiving what has been paid for by his precious blood? It cannot just be put down to lack of faith on their part. I've recently been rereading F.F. Bosworth's book, Christ the Healer. By the way, Bosworth was a man that helped impact A.W. Tozer. And he demonstrates clearly from the New Testament that Christ's present attitude to sickness is exactly the same as it was in the Gospels. He is our merciful high priest, ready, willing, and able to display his mercy by forgiving sin and healing sickness. I agree that we should stand together for Steve Hill's complete healing and health, and I'm sure many believers have been doing that since he was first diagnosed. Why did God not heal Steve before the surgery and treatment, leading to the astronomical medical bill? I feel really confused about this and am tempted to question whether God himself is serious about healing in the atonement. Very, very important questions, Mike, that you raise. I have seen situations and been involved in situations where there was massive fasting and prayer for someone's healing, people praying around the clock, people shutting themselves in together, and yet the person died. I've seen situations where believers are called on to pray around the world for a certain person for healing, and they have died. And according to everything we can tell, we're praying according to God's will. Others would say, well, that indicates to us that healing is clearly not for today. If it was for today, we would see answers. For example, we lead someone to the Lord. They cry out to God for salvation. They are saved 100% of the time. Obviously, because forgiveness of sins is in the atonement. Jesus died for our forgiveness. If he died for our healing, why don't we see 100% or even 50% results when we're praying for healing? 866-34-TRUTH. Let me just tell you about my own journey first. I got saved in an Italian Pentecostal church, 1971. We didn't have a lot of systematic teaching, but I knew that we believed that God healed the sick and that there were miracles that happened. And in fact, I had a really bad case of hives and experienced a miraculous touch when I cried out to the Lord, agreed with a friend in prayer while I was at high school one day, and virtually instantly, within a couple minutes, these blotches that were all over my body disappeared. I had been battling this for some time and experienced just a marvelous, wonderful touch from God. And, well, that's what we believe the Bible taught. And then I had a breakthrough with hay fever, really cried out for that, had some struggles, but then really saw a breakthrough with that, but then saw other things where I wasn't healed and saw people in the congregation that had chronic conditions and they weren't healed. And people would tell me, well, you know, if you just wait around long enough, if you're just patient, then you will see God heal. You know, we used to see it in the old days. We saw miracles and blind eyes open and things like that, and goiters just disappear. If you stick around, you'll see it. Well, after about 6 years, I was becoming increasingly skeptical. I was questioning whether healing was for today. I was questioning what the Word said. I was reading books by people who were skeptical of it. And my own experience said, yes, sometimes I've seen God's miraculous hand. I've seen healings, but I certainly haven't seen the types of miracles in the New Testament. And on top of that, I'm just not even seeing a pattern of healing. Well, I ended up leaving that church, going to a community church that had different views on a lot of things, was open to healing for today, but certainly didn't have an emphasis on that. It was Calvinistic in its theology, was active in good works to the poor, and had a good worldview in terms of the church and the world. A lot of good, healthy things in that body. On the other hand, you could say a real lack of power for breakthroughs. But during that time, I became very skeptical. I said, look, through the Bible, you don't see a lot of healing. You see God smiting people, destroying people. It's very bizarre that I saw the scriptures like that, but that was the main emphasis I saw. How could I overlook the explosive ministry of Jesus in the New Testament and the healings and miracles that were such a normal pattern into the book of Acts? But I got so skeptical that I put more of an emphasis on God judging and smiting, not realizing that the main reason you had those texts there in the Old Testament was because the people were in sin. Because they were in sin, you have more accounts of judgment than of healing. Anyway, during that time, 1982, God really began to bring me to repentance. Spiritual pride had come in my life. I was finishing my PhD work at NYU in Near Eastern Languages and Literatures. I was working on my doctoral dissertation on just a Semitic linguistic topic. And God really apprehended my life, brought me to repentance of spiritual pride, brought me to repentance of spiritual coldness. The fire began to burn again. God began to move powerfully in our church. And then people were testifying to being healed, crying out to God being healed. But I thought, well, they're misusing the Bible. I mean, they're using verses that talk about spiritual healing and applying them to physical healing, but they're getting healed. And they say healing's in the atonement. It's certainly not in the atonement. So I'm having all these struggles. And I thought, you know, I just need to really study the Word about this. That's why I ended up writing my doctoral dissertation on the Hebrew word for healing, rapha, concluding the fundamental meaning is to restore, make whole. and then ended up putting out a monograph with Zondervan based on my doctoral thesis and expanding it called Israel's Divine Healer. And I've come to some real strong convictions about what the Word of God teaches with regard to healing, which means since I believe that the Word of God promises that healing is for today and that everything needed for life and godliness in the world has been purchased through the cross, makes the question even bigger. Why are so many godly people not healed? Why does it seem that sickness is here to stay? I don't mean be eradicated from the earth before Jesus comes, but I mean you think that we'd have more success within the church. Why? What's going on? We come back. We will take your call, starting with Robert in Utah, Mike in Chicago. Stay with us, and I'm going to do my best to sort this out and give you clear, edifying answers today on The Line of Fire. We're talking today about sickness and healing. Has God, in fact, promised healing on any level, any consistent level to us in the New Testament for today? If so, why are so many godly people sick? Or is it not for today, and perhaps here and there God might heal, but you can't make a doctrine out of it? Or perhaps it's people's lack of faith, or perhaps they're not as godly as we think, or is it dangerous when we go that route? 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. I've written an extensive academic volume on the subject of God the Healer. You can find out about that by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking on The Line of Fire. I've also got an MP3 series, which is very simple and clear. Anyone can follow, and it's practical, and the book comes with that. We've got a link for that as well. AskDrBrown.org, click on The Line of Fire. So what about it? Is healing for today? Is healing in the atonement? Why do we see so much sickness? How do we react and respond to it? Let's go to the phone, starting with Robert in Kaysville, Utah. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello?
Hello, Robert.
Yes, I've been studying the scriptures for 40 years, and I did what you did. I went to a Pentecostal church. I was from a different faith, and I went to the altar to pray for the Spirit. I was at the altar for about 8 straight hours to get the Spirit. I didn't get the Spirit till 6 months later. But anyway, on this healing, what I come to the conclusion is a lot of people think that, you know, Jesus saves us. Well, the way I understand the Bible is Jesus didn't come to save me because I'm a sinner. You can't save the sinner. All you can do is make him go from Nicodemus to be born again as the Son of God. And then once you're the Son of God, then he heals you. Now, I'm 72 years old, and I don't have any health problems hardly at all. I don't get headaches. I don't get nothing. And I pray in the Spirit all the time, so when I do this, basically, I think my temple becomes the temple of God, and he enters into it, see? And this is what happened, but when the people are in the church, their temple isn't the temple of God, so they're trying to get God to heal the sinning temple. You see what I'm trying to make a statement
all right, hey,
here.
All right, one question, Robert. Yes. Then I want to get to as many calls as I can. Right. Do you expect to one day physically die?
Right.
Okay, so the fact that we'll all die unless Jesus comes first is not the issue.
Right,
it's living
right.
In health until that point.
Right.
Got it. Hey, thanks for weighing in. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Mike in Chicago, thanks for calling. What's your take?
Well, Dr. Brown, you it's up to you. Now, I had sent you an email over the weekend. You asked me to call into your program. However, the topic I want to discuss is the topic of today's program.
So, you need to call me tomorrow, Mike. I know who you are. I'm gonna be covering a bunch of different things tomorrow, and tomorrow would be a ripe day for you to call in. In fact, I would love to hear from you. All right?
Okay, I should be able to do that.
Okay. Thanks, man. Okay. Tomorrow I got a bunch of things to cover, and I got some feisty emails I want to interact with. But that's what Mike was calling about. 866-34-TRUTH. Is healing for today? If so, why so much sickness in the body? Heather in Willow Springs, North Carolina, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, I believe that healing is for today, but I'm not aware of anywhere in the Bible where God says absolutely 100% of the time I'll physically heal you. I love a quote from Dr. James McDonald from Walk in the Word, and he says that one of the reasons for the trials in our lives is to demonstrate the superiority of a life lived in Jesus Christ. And I think that is so true. My father-in-law suffered with Alzheimer's for about 2 years before he died, and certainly we were praying for God to heal him physically, but we rejoiced in what God was doing in our lives and his life and how God blessed us through that illness. I think it's very dangerous to go to where you link faith with whether God answers prayers for healing or not. In Isaiah, God says that his ways are higher than our ways. And certainly the number one purpose for anything in our lives is for God to be glorified. So who am I to say that God should heal me physically when he may have a plan to be glorified through my physical illness and eventual death? He may have in mind to bring other people to faith in Christ through my suffering. And if I truly love Christ and I truly am a surrendered disciple, then I'm going to yield to whatever plan he has for my life. Is it wrong to pray for healing? No. But is it wrong to say, because I'm not healed, I don't have enough faith? That's wrong. That's not biblical, and I don't think that's honoring God.
All right, so let me ask you one question, Heather. I absolutely appreciate the Christ-centered attitude and just wanting him to be glorified with whatever happens, whether it seems positive or negative to us. Are there ways where we can determine by Scripture what is the will of God and what is not the will of God so that we know how to pray?
I don't know. I guess I don't know the Bible well enough to be able to answer that.
Okay, because that would be a big thing, Heather. In other words, if the Scriptures lay out certain things and give us certain promises, right, and that we're supposed to believe God for those promises, there may be a faith battle, but we're supposed to believe him, then we can pray with confidence. Look, I don't know if God wants to send a certain person to Africa to be a missionary, so I can't necessarily pray in faith, God, send them to Africa to be a missionary, or that someone else is supposed to be blessed with $1 million to give to the poor. I don't know that, but I do know other things that the Word of God does lay out. So I think that's the other side of the coin, which is, what does Scripture tell us in terms of the will of God? Does it tell us what to expect about healing? And if so, how can we pray in faith? So I'll get into that more as the show goes on. But Heather, thanks for the approach in terms of wanting to see Jesus glorified and whatever we go through, that being the greatest goal of all. I appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. Do you believe that healing is in the atonement? Do you believe that healing is in the atonement? The same way Jesus died for our sins, and anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved because Jesus paid for our sins. Do you believe he also paid for our sicknesses in the same way? Now, I'm asking questions. I'm going to give answers as I understand Scripture shortly. But do you believe that when it says, with the stripes we're healed, that that's talking only spiritually? Or do you believe that that's talking physically as well? 866-34-TRUTH. At the end of Mike's email I read from earlier in the last segment, he says, in your excellent volume on Israel's Divine Healer, you rightly argue that suffering in the New Testament is linked to persecution and does not embrace sickness. In other words, in the New Testament, where it talks about suffering for the faith, I do not see it primarily talking about suffering sickness, but rather suffering persecution. We are exhorted to rejoice in suffering for the faith, but not sickness? Ah, okay, good question, Mike. Where does that leave Job? He endured sickness at the hands of Satan, but so do many other children of God. According to Philip Yancey in Disappointment with God, a great book, by the way, my wife Nancy just finished that, we are called to maintain faith whatever life or Satan throws at us. It would be easier to do that if God had not promised and provided healing that doesn't take place. So has God promised healing? I mean, the more questions we hear, the more you realize that we need clarity on this. From the New Testament, who's mainly responsible for sickness? Is it from above or from below? Do we embrace it or do we rebuke it? We'll be back. God of life. Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire today as we talk about sickness and healing. 866-34-TRUTH. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Okay, we understand that there will be death and sickness, pain in this world until Jesus returns. We understand that. We understand that we will not receive resurrected bodies until Jesus returns, which means ultimately everybody will die. And, by the way, the scriptural reason for that is what? We don't get to eat of the tree of life. That's reality, isn't it? Genesis, the third chapter. We've sinned and we don't get to eat of the tree of life. So there is physical death. We have a different attitude towards it than the world does. But from a New Testament perspective, is God glorified through our sickness, or is he glorified through healing our sickness? From a New Testament perspective, yes, God can be glorified through how we respond in the midst of sickness and pain and difficulty. There are many people who have been extraordinary examples of faith, of joy, of gentleness, of Christ-likeness in the midst of pain and suffering. But do we therefore conclude that God sent the sickness? In the New Testament, isn't the pattern, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, isn't the pattern that he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, isn't the pattern that sickness is associated with either sin or the devil? In other words, something from below, something that's not a blessing, as opposed to something sent from God from above as a blessing. And in the New Testament, when you look at suffering, it's primarily talking about suffering for the faith, namely persecution. So what conclusions do we draw based on the biblical evidence? And how do we then apply that when you yourself find yourself sick and you believe that healing is for today? Or you have a loved one that you're praying for and that person is sick or maybe dies. And as far as you know, you were believing God and you had promises from God. I don't mean you withhold medical care, but I mean the doctors have done what they can do and they say we need a miracle and you pray and there is no miracle. What do we conclude from those things? How do we address them? As I'm looking at some of the conversation on our Facebook page, and you can join us by going to Ask Dr. Brown and joining the page there on Facebook. There are people who have lost their own kids that were praying and asking God for healing the whole way. What do we say to people like that? Do we tell them, well, God's sovereign? Do we tell them they didn't have enough faith? What's the answer based on Scripture? John in Winston-Salem, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yes, sir. I'm
yes,
here.
I just wanted to say that, first off, I'm so thankful for your ministry. I'm teaching a Sunday school, and I'm actually using some of your teaching, the Giants of Faith series that you did. It's very wonderful and just encouraging people. We just did John G. Lake this last week, and basically I just wanted to share how 15 years ago I was struggling. I had had an injury to my groin area, and actually I was in severe pain. I went to the doctor, and they kept telling me, well, just wear this support. You'll be all right. It physically felt like somebody had really hit me right in the groin. When I would wake up in the morning, I'd feel fine. But then within an hour, I was in excruciating pain. And I kept going back to the doctor. He said, wear this support. You'll be fine. And a friend of mine had given me a book, Remarkable Miracles, by a man named C.G. Bevington. And it powerfully impacted my life on what true faith is for healing. And after reading that book, I decided one day that I was going to stop wearing this support. And I went to actually a Carmen concert, and we went to the Carmen concert, and the whole time I felt miserable. I mean, I was terrible. And by the end of the concert, I was in excruciating pain. And I remember late that night driving home in just terrible pain, crying out to God, and just tears streaming down my face. And I got mad. I said, I am healed in Jesus' name. It wasn't, I will be healed, I could be healed. It was like, I am healed in Jesus' name. And I went to bed that night, and the next morning I was completely well, completely healed.
So John, would you say that was the moment that you took hold of it in faith, or how would you understand it in retrospect?
Most definitely. Now, it was a process of getting me to that point of really believing in my heart of hearts that I was healed. Not that God could heal me, not that God would heal me, but to the point where no matter what my body said, God's word's true, and I am healed. In that moment, I was healed, I believe. And even though I didn't manifest it until the next morning, I know that because faith had arisen in my heart,
Yeah.
I knew there was something different. And the next morning, like I said, completely healed.
John, well, thanks for sharing it, John. And God's power is wonderful. Thanks also for the good word about the Giants of the Faith series. Looking at the lives of men and women God used in the past deeply challenged me. All right, there's a testimony of someone saying, I took hold of it in faith. It was a battle. I took hold of it once I believed that I had what I asked for. It was done. What do you think of that? Do you say, that's good for him, but it doesn't help me because I tried the same thing and it didn't work. What conclusions do we draw? Bo, try to reconnect with us if I accidentally cut you off. It sounded like a busy signal or something to me. Ruby in Jacksonville, thanks for calling today.
Thank you. You're welcome. Nice for having me on today.
Sure thing.
My thoughts today about the topic is that there are many facets and factors that plays into the healing process. First of all, we need to repent for any sins that we caused.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to our body and to people, and we have to live in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and all that stuff. And then we have to be mindful of the food that we put in our body. We have to do organic. We have to do raw, natural. Meat is not made for our body. And through this process, your body heals, and you have to have faith, and you have to continue to pray. And Romans 12 and 1 and 2 talks about our body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's our reasonable service, is to take care of our body and be mindful of what we put in it. And it's a combination of all these things, but it's now that the healing is now that God gets the glory. Because in heaven, we don't need healing.
Got it. So Ruby, if... We see, for example, in 1 Corinthians 11, because of sin among the Corinthians, that Paul said that some of them were, many were sick and some had died. And obviously, if we abuse our bodies physically, then we can't expect to just push a magic button and God bails us out. But if you are now ministering to someone else that's sick, do you try to guide them in the same way to examine their own lives, or do you just immediately pray for God to have mercy and heal as the first thing that you do?
Well, at first I question them and see where they are spiritually, at what level. And then I minister, pray for them first, and I minister to them, give them scriptures, and then I talk about the food they eat. What do you put in your body? How do you expect for God to heal you when you're not doing what His Word? Keep His commandments. You know, there's a lot of things we have to do spiritual, before we can reap the benefits of healing in our body. And it's
Got
a process. But you still have to be obedient and look forward and have faith and just know that God will heal you. When you know you're doing everything right, when you're doing everything, just stand and know that God is in your corner. He's going to make sure you get healed if you're doing things right.
All right. Hey, Ruby, thank you very much for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. So Ruby's now raised the issue of the way we're living. If I'm living in sin, I need to repent of sin, because many times there's a connection between sin and sickness. If I have abused my body through what I've eaten, you may not have the same stand on organic and everything she has, but obviously the points that a lot of the reason we have health issues is because of what we put in our body. Those are real issues. So then we come down to, okay, we've turned away from sin, we're eating healthy. What if we're not healed? What do we do? What do we conclude? We'll come back and answer some of these questions for you. We're focusing on a sensitive, real-life issue, nothing abstract today. Sickness and healing, what does the Word say? Is healing promised? Why are godly people often not healed? 866-34-TRUTH. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Again, if you click on the line of fire, we've got two important resources available. One, an MP3 series that's practical, that will really lay out what we understand the Scriptures teach about sickness and healing, as well as my book, Israel's Divine Healer. But that is more academic, so that's not the lightest reading. In fact, I joke with people that if you have sleep problems, read that book as you're trying to go to sleep, and you'll have no trouble falling asleep. But for those that want serious academic study, that's the book. Okay, here's what I want to do. I first want to give a very brief summary of what I understand Scriptures teach about sickness and healing, and then deal with our major question. What about those who are not healed? those who either died without healing or those who presently are not healed. And I appreciate all the calls we've gotten, the different perspectives that have been shared. Thank you, each of you, for participating. And I'm not out to express agreement or disagreement with each call as much as to listen, let you listen, and then we evaluate things together. Okay. Number one, throughout scriptures, sickness in and of itself is never promised as a blessing. Sickness in and of itself is never pictured as a good thing. Rather, healing and health are pictured as blessings and good things. That's just common sense. Somebody gets married, you don't send them a card saying we wish you sickness and premature death. No, you wish them health and long life. Psalm 91, with long life I'll satisfy them. These promises reiterated in Exodus 23, Exodus 15, Deuteronomy 7. This is corporately to the children of Israel. Promises of divine healing if the people would walk in obedience towards God. And then we see, as we read into the New Testament, there are, boy, I'm in my office here with lights blinking, and this is very, very odd. I have no idea what's going on, if we have some kind of alien invasion taking place or some anti-healing demonic attack. Boy, this is weird. We've got our folks in the studio here scrambling to try to find out what's happening. Hopefully everything sounds good as you're all right. Actually, Joey, put some music on. I will get back to the point in a moment, but we must evacuate our building. Seriously, we got to get out of the building. So put some music on, and we'll be back hopefully to finish our explanations and talk to you more about healing. Stay with us.
All right, folks, it's me back again outside of my building, calling in to the line of fire from my cell phone. Not sure what the problem is, but we had to evacuate the building. So I'm going to come back and summarize some things. So sorry to leave you hanging, but a little suspense today on the line of fire. We'll be back. Well, a little excitement here at the line of fire. I am standing outside of our building, outside of our studio, looking at some of the staff that uses offices elsewhere in the building, standing outside as well as tractors are moving and giant rocks are being moved. There was a collapse of a wall immediately behind my office they've been working on for some time. And something funny today, I noticed the light starts flashing, my screen starts acting funny. People start waving through the window at me to get out. So sorry for losing a few minutes of precious teaching time as we're talking about divine healing. But here's what I concluded after studying this every angle I knew how. God reveals himself as the healer. Sickness is associated either with sin or with the devil or with the fact that we are in a fallen world or with divine discipline. But it is not in and of itself a blessing. And we don't wish it on others as a blessing. Many people grow dramatically through times of sickness. Many people get saved through times of sickness. But that doesn't mean the sickness itself is a gift from God. Rather, it means that God's a redeemer. And everything that circumstances or Satan in this world bring about us for evil can be turned for good. I believe the greatest pattern we see for this is in the New Testament, that Jesus does not touch well people and make them sick. He touches sick people and makes them well, and advances the kingdom of God in the process. I don't believe that Paul's thorn in the flesh was a physical sickness, rather, most likely intense persecution that came against him wherever he went, which, of course, brought a lot of physical suffering with it. And I would also say on top of that, based on studying Scripture as clearly as I can, that when Jesus died for our sins, he purchased everything necessary for life and godliness, which included healing of sickness. That being said, maybe as clear as I can, I do not understand some people who seem to be walking in faith, living clean lives before God, are sick. I don't understand it. I do not judge them under any circumstances. I do not say, well, you must be in sin, or there's something the matter with you. If you only had enough faith, then no, I don't do that. If I'm going to say there's unbelief, I'll put it on my shoulders and say, if I had more faith, I would deliver God's power to that person. I will not accuse someone. If I know the situation in their lives or I know something's wrong, that's one thing. But if someone, as far as I know, is committed to the Lord, God forbid that I point a finger and say, well, you obviously don't have enough faith. You must be in sin. No, will not do that. Book of Job teaches me not to do it. It also teaches me not to judge God. I will not change my theology. Look, I have a physical condition that needs healing. It's nothing life-threatening. I'm not going to change my theology based on the fact that I'm not healed. And there are other issues of nutrition or how we care for ourselves or sin in our lives. Those are all things to be examined and looked at. But ultimately, I have to base my theology on what I see written in the Word. And everything I see promises healing for today. Not 100% of the time in every situation, but as the general pattern that we can look for and expect, especially in life-threatening situations. What do we do then? When you look me in the eye and say, we prayed, we fasted, we cry out, my son died. We prayed, my wife died. We prayed, a child lost a leg, lost a limb, handicapped for life. I say, I don't understand why these things happen, but I know we are in a fallen, messed up, broken world. And ultimately, the answer that we're looking for is the return of Jesus. We minister healing as an expression of the compassion and love and kindness and good of God. We pray the goodness of God. We pray and we ask God to demonstrate his power to those that do not know him. When we don't see answers, we continue to worship him and praise him. Ask for growth in the midst of this. Ask for more Christ-likeness in the midst of this. Ask that everything meant to hurt will be turned around for greater good. And we don't point fingers at the person, and we don't point fingers at God. Why we don't see more things happen, some of it is the lethargy and unbelief of our society. Some of it's the way we take care of ourselves. Other is a mystery. And I leave that to the Lord and pray fervently for the kingdom to be advanced and Jesus to return, at which point all sickness will be eradicated. You be blessed, folks.